Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the one Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. What was David enduring to cause him to speak such words? The Holy Spirit directed David to begin what we know as Psalm 22, with this great question: my God, why have you forsaken me? Israel's beloved king was no stranger to conflict. He often found himself in the midst of strife, many times at the hands of his father-in-law and the father of his best friend. King Saul was the one who hunted for David on many occasions, ready to snuff out David's life in order to extend his own. In any of those situations that David found himself in, had God truly forsaken him? Had the one true God ever abandoned his servant, the one after his own heart, David? David must have felt so as he struggled with the reality that his good and his gracious God would allow him such perplexity, such suffering. Now that sounds all too familiar to you and to me. When the going gets tough and rough, as we hastily then offer up our prayer to God for relief, we don't soon consider that it is God who is the one who has allowed these things to happen. Why would God, who is good and gracious, allow such suffering, such struggling? Why allow such illnesses to spread worldwide and permit the ongoing panic at what could be, but possibly will not be, and certainly would not be by God's intervention? Rather than wrestle with the notion that our loving God gives you such hardships for your own good, maybe it is just easier, at least it's tempting, to think that God has abandoned us altogether. For is it better to have a God who allows suffering or a God who cannot prevent it? A God who cannot thwart struggles, or a God who chooses not to? Job's words certainly come back to mind and should quickly. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we face, whether good or bad, we know that we are in the Lord's good hands. St. Paul echoed this belief with his words of contentment: I have learned the secret to being content in every situation, whether free or in prison, whether hungry or well fed. And while we may feel like the Lord has left us, it is not true. He causes the blessing of rain to fall upon all people, even all evil people. And he allows tragedy to strike all people, even his own baptized children. And yet, he never abandons them. God never forsakes you. He did not forsake David, though it may have felt like it to the king. However, those words of David, they did echo then throughout history until they were spoken again by God's own dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, while he hung from the cross. There, nailed to the tree of the cross, Jesus was in the very midst of drinking down the full dregs of the cup of God's wrath over all sin. That cup was seemingly limitless, as Jesus drowned in its awful depths. How deep, how dark, how dank our every last thought and word and deed coming forth from the pit of our own hearts. From the heart of that sad suffering upon the tree, our Lord re-spoke David's words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This time they were no exaggeration. This time the words were true and real. They were literally what had occurred. Well, Jesus was truly the Word made flesh. He was at the same time all sin made flesh. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Every last white lie and tiny peccadillo to the most offensive offenses, even Adam's original sin that plunged all of us out of the bliss of perfection and into destruction. God the Father had abandoned, forsaken, deserted God the Son. Utterly astounding. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh and the carrier of all sin, had been accepted by God as the complete substitute for all mankind, and thus must suffer God's holy forsakenness. This was the true pit of hell that Jesus suffered. Forsaken by God upon the cross, Jesus hung there to die alone. No one else could bear the burden for him. No one else could save all of creation from God's perfect justice. It had to be Jesus. He alone could do it. And he alone is the one who did, who suffered and died for all your sin, for all my sin, for all sin. Through Jesus alone, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus alone is the way to the Father. And no one gets there except through Jesus. Now, when Jesus cried out those words of abandonment, some of the bystanders expected some relief to come to Jesus. "This man is calling Elijah," they said. "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And so they waited and they watched, but no one came. There were no last-minute heroics to save Jesus. None of the amazing prophets of old came to help the Lord. God the Father did not relinquish his forsakenness of his Son. And neither did Jesus himself give in to any of the temptations that were racking his consciousness to come down off the cross to save himself. He continued on, continued to drink the fullest measure of payment for all sin. And when that last drop was then in sight, the Lord Jesus cried out one last time with a loud voice. And yielding up his spirit, Jesus now hung dead upon the cross. It was over. Redemption's full price had been now paid. Every last one of us in this whole world has earned, rightly so, God's punishment for our sin. We turn our own backs upon God and upon His Word in every sin that we commit. And so God's law then drives us to repentance over our sin, filling our hearts with sadness and with grief over our corruption, knowing that we are His chosen people, and we should know better than what we do. And then God's gospel delivers to us freely the very goods of forgiveness, life, and salvation. You are then assured, guaranteed that you stand before God as holy and just, forgiven because of Jesus. But sadly, many in this world continue on in their rejection of God. And while in our own sinfulness we do wish for God to leave us alone in our sinful ways, the Holy Spirit then quickens that desire within us for God to save once more. And yet many continue on in unbelief. They reject God's law and His gospel, His Christ. They believe that God does not exist. They reject His law, His gospel, and they want to be left alone in their own sin, in their own ways. But to be left alone, to be truly free of God's gracious presence, that is the isolation, the loneliness, the utter pit of hell. Having suffered that forsakenness of God the Father, true hell, Jesus remembered the promise of His Father, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or will let your Holy One see corruption." Even though forsaken by God upon the cross, Jesus still trusted in Him fully. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Those were the last words of Jesus from the cross, before giving up His spirit and laying down His life in death. Even though forsaken, Jesus still trusted. Jesus endured that forsakenness so that you would never have to. Jesus endured that abandonment so that no one would ever have to. And those who believe in Him, you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, who have been fed with His life-giving body and blood, you will never be forsaken by God. You are never alone. No matter what you may feel like, no matter what anyone says, the Lord Jesus said it to His disciples before He ascended into heaven, "I am with you always." And that word comes to you. Jesus is with you always, even here, even now. You are never alone. You always have God's grace. You always have His peace, His life, His salvation. You always have Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. And the peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.